Welcome to the SEC on Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Jerry Hamilton here at the SEC celebration party. Before it gets started later today, I think Pitbull and all those guys will be on here. I don't know if I'm going to stay for Pitbull, but Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, will be here, as well as all the Texas coaches, including Steve Sarkisian, Rodney Terry, the new baseball coach, Jim Schlossnagel, expected to be here, as well as dignitaries like Kevin Eltife, chairman of the Board of Regents, and Jay Hartzell. Jerry, we got a lot to talk about today and this morning as we look at the celebration. We've taken some photos and put them up on ontexasfootball.com. Make sure you check out the Welcome to the SEC thread. So if you're unable to get out here and see what all is going on today on the 40 acres, make sure you check out that thread, and you'll be able to see a bunch of different things going on. A lot of tents make up. They've got water out here in case you get a little too hot. Jerry, let's start. What do you think of the situation here?
I think it's it's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere with the backdrop of the tower. Walking in, it's all SEC all the time. Down a little bit from where we are is where Paul Feinbaum and the TV crews will be broadcasting from on SEC Network, I believe. But it's done unbelievable. It's really cool to see, what was that called, Bobby, the little clock.
Oh, the clock of the SEC teams.
Clock of the SEC teams with Texas and Oklahoma on it. Really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's if you're familiar with the campus at all, this is on the south lawn as we're facing the UT Towers. The UT Towers overlooking us here. This is where I graduated from the University of Texas back in the day. And now it's a stage of, a number of different things going on. Jerry, there's some news and notes we need to get to today. Yesterday, Oregon kept going and kind of ripping in a little bit to the University of Texas on the recruiting trail. On Friday, Josiah Sharma, the defensive lineman out of Folsom, California, opted to go to Oregon over Texas after telling folks that Texas was going to be his pick. And then yesterday, a defensive back, right after we finished filming for our recruiting reset, Dorian Brew out of Conroe High School. This one's a little different.
But he's from Ohio.
He's from Ohio originally. But the reality of it is, Jerry, is he selected Oregon as well. And that was one of the guys that Texas had targeted. Now you're adding in. What's going on with Oregon versus Texas? This is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and then you have Aiden Anning as well. LSU making an offer to him on Friday night, I believe that was. And now he's putting off his commitment. He'll probably make a visit to LSU in late July, which is not good news for Texas. But Oregon really making a play here. And the interesting thing with Oregon is, you know, DeCorian Moore, that's probably Texas's competition right now, more than Ohio State, for the five-star receiver out of Duncanville. And then you have Michael Terry, the four-star, five-star athlete out of San Antonio Alamo Heights, who is back at Oregon for their big weekend for a second time in the last month. So Texas and Oregon battling a little bit with the hire of Rashad Samples. And along with Will Stein, Oregon really wants to have a strong footprint in Texas. They're really fighting to have a strong footprint in Texas. So Texas will have to hold them off on DeCorian Moore, which we think Texas remains in a pretty good spot for. Michael Terry, total wild card recruitment. But a little bit of a maybe a rivalry starting to get going, Bobby, there between Texas and Oregon on some kids, because Oregon will be recruiting that West Coast, same as Texas is. So they're going to be in on a lot of the same kids there and in the state of Texas.
It's interesting. You mentioned Will Stein. He is a former GA at the University of Texas, went to work for Jeff Traylor down at UTSA, was the offensive coordinator for UTSA before taking the same role for Dan Lanning at Oregon. And then Rashad Samples, his dad is the Duncanville head coach, Reggie Samples. And he also has been a GA at the University of Texas as well, has been around the Pac-12. Now he's going to the Big Ten with Oregon. It'll be interesting because he's also the running backs coach. He's not the receivers coach. So we'll see how that plays as it relates to Texas and DeCorian Moore, state's number one prospect. That could be a big sledding. Michael Terry, though, is interesting. It's a guy that we don't know exactly what position he's being recruited as. Oregon's talked to him even about running back.
Right. Yeah, but they just got Jordan Davidson.
Yeah.
So that talk's probably getting squashed a little bit in the Terry circle. So getting Jordan Davidson probably tells the Terry, okay, we're an athlete anywhere we go. Nebraska saying wide receiver.
All right. I'm Bobby Burton here with Jerry Hamilton. We're talking a little Longhorn sports. It is SEC Celebration Day on the University of Texas campus right now. Everybody's getting ready here. Jerry and I came in a little early to take some bird's eye view of everything and what's going on and how everything's getting set up. Jerry, the other thing that's going on the 40 acres, Texas A&M this morning, apparently ready to name Michael Early, their new baseball coach. He's only been coaching baseball, college baseball, for 8 years. It'll be his first job. He was on Jim Schlossnagel's staff at the University at Texas A&M. Early already has his page up on the University of Texas website as an assistant coach. He's now moving back to A&M. However, some news here: we believe Nolan Kane, as well as Max Viner, the pitching coach, are going to stay with Jim Schlossnagel, or expected to stay with Jim Schlossnagel. Kane already on the road recruiting. So I don't think that's going to affect Texas recruiting as much. It may, however, affect some of the guys in the portal.
That's right.
That A&M was Texas was going after that may have been former A&M players.
We talked about this. I mean, Schlossnagel going to Texas is one thing, and his assistants. But if three or four of those best players at A&M that hit the portal ended up at Texas, that might hurt even more, because the fans of a school, they really identify with a player even more than a coach. And the jerseys being bought aren't Schlossnagel. They're the player jerseys. And if two or three of those best players at A&M, one that's being called Jason LaValette, a possible one of the top players ever to wear the maroon and white, if that guy went to Texas out of the portal, that would crush a lot of fans. So I think this move is this move, stop the bleeding move. Not that Michael Early may not deserve to be the coach there, but it's a stop the bleeding in the portal and try to keep the core of the team together, knowing that it's late in the game if all those guys in the portal stay in the portal and don't come back, and if three or four of those guys transfer to Texas, which are three or four of the better A&M players hitting the baseball.
I think it's interesting because we're sitting here looking at it, Jerry, and from our viewpoint, A&M went out and tried to hire two or three other guys. Mm-hmm. Clearly,
at Virginia,
they went out, and I think our Blake Monroe is reporting right now that A&M tried to hire at least a couple other guys and did not get any takers. And Trev Alberts, the A&M athletic director, pushed for Early to elevate the assistant coach into a head coaching role. I think that this may be sink or swim for Trev Alberts in Aggieland, because I'll tell you one thing, A&M does not they don't like the big money guys. Probably wanted a big name.
Yes.
And Michael Early's not the big name they were maybe looking for to take over for Jim Schlossnagel, who just led them to two College World Series out of the last 3 years. So A&M in a unique situation right now as it relates to that. Also, this is also interesting. Not only is Albert's got a new coach in baseball, he's got a new coach in football in Mike Elko. Mm-hmm. So I think the spotlight is going to be on the athletic director at Texas A&M.
No, I 100% agree. And it starts with the Notre Dame game at A&M right out of the gates. This baseball hire, I think it'll be – the fans will like it because they think it'll keep the players there. But long-term, are they all in agreement with it? We'll see. We saw a little bit of that in Texas basketball, a different circumstance last year, but a little bit of that. So how does that go over with the fan base? Immediately, I think it'll help if the players come back to Texas A&M that are in the portal. Now, if those guys still leave, then it's not going to be looked upon favorably. And then you have Notre Dame coming to town for Mike Elko's first game. That's a huge game.
I don't know if you can hear it in the background right now, but the UT Carillion bells are ringing. Right now, a very familiar sound. If you're ever been on campus at the University of Texas been around and had those bells ringing, I think I remember those from long, long ago. Jerry, other news and notes that we want to go over. Recruiting right now, we talked about it in recruiting reset yesterday, but it felt like Texas had some momentum, and now we're concerned about that momentum maybe slipping out of their grasp. That being said, Smith Arogbo, defensive end out of A-Leaf Hastings, is expected to announce tomorrow. Texas is one of his finalists. What's your latest news there?
Yeah, it's a big week coming up for Texas because you have Smith Arogbo on the first. you have Cade Phillips scheduled for the sixth.
Yep.
Those are two recruitments. I think Texas has a big lead for Cade Phillips now. See what happens, right? Where everybody's a little shaky right now, okay? But LSU offering Aiden Anning, a lot of people tied that to Jabari Antoine. I may be tying that to Cade Phillips as well. So maybe LSU's trying to keep both of those guys from going to Texas. But we'll see when Cade announces. Smith Orogbo, Texas, Washington, Texas Tech, Oklahoma. I'm not going to be surprised if Texas, Washington, maybe Texas Tech is where this decision
or even from. Oklahoma. I mean, we just look.
Things do change. Things do change. Now, Oklahoma has got a couple of edge commitments. So does that change the calculus for the Sooners with Smith Orogbo? But here's the thing. Texas has to close these recruitments out. So now we're all – everybody's a little gun-shy right now, right? I mean, can they close these recruitments out after two or three get away from you? But Smith Orogbo would be a huge pickup for Texas on the first. Cade Phillips would be a huge pickup for Texas on the sixth. Why? Because they're defensive players. Yeah. I think we know Texas on the offensive side is going to recruit at a high level and is going to have a really good class. The question now is Texas, after the hits have happened a little bit, is Texas going to fill their needs on the defensive side in this July-August period before the season starts? I think that's the question for Texas fans right now. Are we going to fill the needs on defense?
I think it's – here's my take on one thing, and want to get your feedback on this. A lot of people are somehow in panic mode here. Yeah. I don't think it's time to be in any sort of panic mode, but it is a – it's a question like now, okay, how are they going to fill these needs, et cetera? Not time for panic mode in your mind. No. Where do the Longhorns go from here?
I think, look, I mean, I think D-line is going to be interesting. I think that's going to have to play out into the season now. No question about it. Even if you were to keep Brandon Brown and get DJ Sanders, which A&M's trying to make make a late push there. You know, Brandon Brown's LSU or Texas right now. Even if you somehow got those two, you're still too short of where you wanted to be. So that's going to go into the season, right? I think a linebacker will be interesting. They want to get three. Will they take three if it's not the right three? I don't know. Will they save a spot for the season? Because I think the one thing I will say is last year going into the season, Brandon Baker was not committed. Kobe Black was not committed. Then you had Xavier Filsomi that didn't have an offer. Tyanthony Smith was committed to A&M. Texas is going to stay the course. There's going to be some guys committed to other schools at certain positions that they're going to stay the course on. And see what happens. I can guarantee you this. Texas will maintain contact with Sharma. Probably maintain contact on some level with Charles. They're not – if we know Sark, he doesn't walk away from these guys. Now, they'll keep evaluating and see who else they like. But it's not panic time because Texas was in a similar position in last year's class. People just don't talk about it. Even after Colin Simmons committed, three of the bigger commitments in the class after Colin Simmons all happened during the season. And then you had – two guys that were offered. You had the flip of Wardell Mack. You had the flip of Tyanthony Smith. So just something to keep in mind there. You may not fill all your positional needs in July, August now, but I do think by December, Sark and those guys have proven they fill the needs.
A lot of people believe that Sark's not putting enough NIL money towards defensive line or the defense or whatever. That's the I don't know, what do you want to call it, but that's the kind of narrative people are trying to draw on social media and even on Texas football message boards. That's not the case, Jerry. We know that to be a fact. The reality of it is that other teams are being hyper aggressive right now and trying to get stuff going. So we'll see how it goes and what everything means and does and that sort of thing. What's your take on the NIL narrative? I know it to be false, so I'm sure you do too. The question I have is, what are we thinking there? What is it, something that we just need to monitor and keep monitoring? Because if teams do go over the top, that's just the way it is. And I don't think Steve Sarkisian's going to back down from his overall strategy.
No, and you can't. And look, sometimes some schools will come over the top. That's just the name of the game right now. It's happening. And that doesn't mean all of these recruitments have happened, but it's happened on a couple, right? So I think you just got to stay the course. I think, look, I think it's kind of out there from an NIL perspective. The Dominic Williams recruitment kind of showed the cards a little bit, Bobby, when Oklahoma just went way over the top of Texas and LSU was barely in the sandbox when OU went over the top. So I think you got to pick your spots. I think you got to have a level of consistency with it. But I do think the one thing about Sark that I've really liked since he's been at Texas, he's adapted.
Yes.
And I think you'll continue to see him, Jeff Banks, and the staff adapt when they need to and where they need to.
One of the things that I keep tying this to, and Brew is Dorian Brew out of Conroe is a little different.
Yeah.
But I think that the fact that they're having to recruit defensive linemen National. From outside the state is a compounding or complexifier for Texas at this point. It makes it harder and makes it less, there's less certitude, yep. I guess, is the best way to put it.
If you think about the best D tackles at Texas in our era, Bobby, or our Casey Hampton, Sean Rogers, Malcolm Brown, Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy, they're all Texas kids. Now, so when you go and you start recruiting nationally, which Texas does have to if the state's not going to produce as many of the guys they see as the level Texas needs in the SEC to compete for it all. And I'm not saying that's 100% right. That's just a belief, because I think there's good players in Texas, but the depth, you're going to have to go out of state. And if you're going to go out of state, I think you have to cast a pretty wide net and get more of those kids on campus. I think to get two, you have to recruit 8 or 9 or 10. Because Texas isn't Georgia yet. That's the reality. And stated, even Kirby Smart in Georgia, that state's producing D linemen by the bushels. They have to turn away guys that are going to FSU. That's not the case in Texas right now. So you're going to have to go out of state to fill those needs on the level that Texas sees the need to be filled on the high school level. And if you're going to do that, you got to cast a wide net, because you're not going to win 60 or 70% of those battles. Not right now. Maybe in 2 years, but not right now.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking that Texas only went after two guys in state at this point. DJ Sanders, who, I mean, look, Texas isn't the only big school in the state of Texas. There's also A&M right. sitting out there. And, you know, Oklahoma and LSU are next-door neighbors. They're constantly pushing for players. Georgia's the only SEC school in the state of Georgia. And so it's a little bit yep. different. The two players that Texas has offered are defensive linemen in Texas that they've offered. Young man out of Belleville, DJ Sanders, is down to Texas and Texas A&M. We believe with A&M making a pretty big push here, we're hearing right now behind the scenes of late, although Texas has some confidence there. Let's see how big that confidence is. And the other one is Zion Williams out of Lufkin. Well, guess what? A lot of Lufkin kids go to LSU.
He's announcing July 4th this week, and it looks like LSU, unless yeah. somebody pulls a miracle.
And his girlfriend's going to LSU.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are all kinds of different complexifiers here. I think that also you add in the fact that Bo Davis left for LSU at the end of last season. And, you know, that those are the things that we worry about and think about overall as it relates to the University of Texas and defensive line recruiting. All right, Jerry, any final thoughts here? We're looking around. People are stewing a little bit. Things are getting set up.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
It's a gorgeous day in Austin. Absolutely not a cloud in the sky right now.
Bring your water bottles.
Yeah.
Not bottles.
Plural.
Yeah. Yes.
It's going to be warm, but they have a lot of shade on the south lawn, trees lining the walkways, etc. It should be a lot of fun for folks.
It's going to be such an exciting day. I mean, when you walk up and the first sign you see is SEC, it means more. I mean, there it is. There's your marketing right there.
Along with this sign behind us that says Texas lives here.
Yes.
You know, and the interspersing of everything going on. So it should be fun. Fun day. Bring family and friends. Chris Del Conte's got basically Bevo Boulevard repositioned with the little Ferris wheel type thing going down there in front of 21st Street instead of on San Jacinto. So it should be a lot of fun if you bring your family down as well. Festivities get started at 2 p.m. I think gates open at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think that the official welcome to the SEC kicks until around 8:30 tonight. They're going to be a fireworks show, et cetera. I'm guessing that little tower right there behind us is going to have the letters printed out, SEC, behind it. So it'll be in the towers lit up like that. Jerry, any final thoughts before we let folks go today on this really nice Sunday morning?
No, it's just such an exciting time for the University of Texas moving to the SEC. I think it's great. We talk about it for football the most, but for all sports. I really think it's a great move for Texas in the SEC. And I think, look, I'm not panicked about recruiting. You're going to win some. You're going to lose some. The D-linemen hurt because there's not enough of those guys. But I will say this. Sark's proven, I know some people hate the term, recruit through the whistle.
Yep.
And I think Texas will stay on their guys. And I think there will be some moves to be made during the season if they don't fill all their needs. And I think Sark will continue to recruit towards a fourth straight top five class.
Interesting. All right, good stuff. All right, that's Jerry Hamilton. I'm Bobby Burton. We're from University of Texas campus. Everybody have fun today. Have a good Sunday. Hook 'em.